This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
That's 21 pitches now for Mejia. The 25-year-old trying to get his first major league save. 6-5 Rockies, two outs, 2-1, 1-1 pitch. Jammed him, popped up. It is caught by Mejia as he collides with warming Bernabéu, and that's the ball game.
Get a haircut and get a real job. Get a haircut and get a real job. Clean your act.
Finally, we've done it. We got to 35. Thank you for that, Michael. Haircuts on Thursday, but we got the beard taken off of the face. There was a debate whether or not I should keep this thing. Some people thought I should let it go, you know, see how far this thing can get me. It's hot. It's annoying. I couldn't stop messing with it. It was time. I tried trimming it a little bit, and then I was like, this is too much work. It's uneven. It's all over the place.
How much food got caught in there?
Not a ton. Eating ribs and wings and stuff was a difficult journey, but
Soup,
yeah. All of that was tough. But we got it. Rockies beat the Diamondbacks 6-5. And you saw Mejia with that play. Bernabéu just takes him out. And I'm thinking, he's going to drop that ball. He's going to drop that ball. And that is going to be the omen that will lead to the Diamondbacks winning the game. And then we got to go an entire week basically facing off against the Dodgers. So maybe we're not shaving until the weekend hit. So I didn't want to go another week. So thank you, Colorado Rockies. Got the job done. Man, it was a quest that we went on. Tanner Schwint and myself, we decided to, I mean, he started a bet where it was like, I'm not shaving until the Rockies win a series and every series in between. And then one night I was like, you know what? I'm not having fun watching the Rockies. I'm not having fun. And then they beat the Marlins. And I thought, okay, that's enough. Like, that was exciting. That was their first series win. And I said, you know, I want to get excited about this team. Everybody down on the team and rooting for bad history and all that. And I said, you know what? I'm going to have some fun. I just shaved my face. So how about I let it grow out? Let's create a little fun off-the-cuff radio campaign out of this. Text Tanner, asked him if he wanted to double down on his series bet. He said, I'm in with you on that. And he was struggling at the end, man. I mean, he was negotiating, if he won the wing eating contest, he was going to shave. He debated whether to remove it a couple weeks ago. But it was really fun. Like, Hooligans, people that were following along on social media and the show, I think people had fun with it, seeing us grow it out and look a little silly. It was a lot of fun.
You guys were great. You guys were like your own AA meeting. Like, you held each other accountable, and I'm really proud of you.
Well, Tanner was really struggling about 3 weeks ago because my beard was coming in pretty good, and my hair was all right.
He ran out of glue.
And Tanner was like, dude, my beard's really... And then after about, like, 2 weeks ago, he's like, okay, Brady's starting to look out of control. So if he can put up with this chaos, then I can. So we did it together. We got it done, and the Rockies got it done. But how bad is that? Like, we're all pushing yesterday for the final, final win in this, and it's to get to 35. But it happened. Felt like it might not, but the young players have been pretty good. I mean, Michael, they've won 5 games out of their last 6. Like, since the All-Star break, I think they're like 11-15 or something like that.
They're the hottest team in baseball.
Well, this is more what I'm used to. Is like, yeah, they're under 500 quite a bit, but they're kind of flirting around once in a while. They're not throwing out these. I mean, they did have an 8-game losing streak post All-Star, but other than that, this is kind of more like I'm used to. Is you go on a little run, you win 3 out of 5 or something, 4 out of 5, 5 out of 6. And then you lose like 3 out of 4, maybe win 2 in a row, kind of like that. It was just so bad to start the season that getting to 35 wins was a difficult challenge. But we did it in August, with plenty of August to spare. Now the question shifts to, will they make bad history? They need 7 wins. 7 wins to beat what the White Sox did last year, which would put them at 42 dubs. Can they do it? It's going to be a rough start to this. I think they can get 7 wins. I'm not betting anything on it. I'm done with that for a moment. Aaron, did you shave last night or did you wait until morning? I was going to wait until the morning. Here's the thing, guys. You guys know this. I've been like in a move mode. We've been moving. And it's like moving day is not the final. I mean, the movers only move like the big stuff. There's still a bunch of stuff left over. So we're putting a fence in, so I'm clearing the fence line. I've been working outside every day for almost 2 months, and it's been hot. I got a lot of hair on my head. I got a lot of beard on my face. I was exhausted, so I was doing some sprinkler work last night, and I'm just, the sweat is dripping off the beard. Like, it's dewing up, and it's just, it was too much. So I got inside, and I said, enough. I got to take this down. I put on different, like, sizers on my razor, and I was going to trim it maybe just a little bit, keep it, see how I liked it, but I was ready for it to all be gone. So, Aaron, I went ahead and shaved it off last night. I got the haircut coming up on Thursday, so we're going to get back to feeling a little bit more like me. Eastside Chris, Brady, I'm worried about Stidham. He has been a previous starter and has the ability to become another one. If they trade him, what can we expect for compensation? Congrats on the facial hair remover. I don't think you're trading him, because here's the deal. Bo Nix was good last year, but he was a rookie. The sophomore slump that we've talked about, you're probably tired of hearing me say it, is a very real thing. But the cool thing is, watching Jarrett Stidham, especially in this preseason, that at least makes you feel like, okay, if Bo gets into a point where he struggles, which I just don't think he's going to, or he gets hurt, you've got a pretty good backup quarterback situation. Can't imagine Stidham's going to be around for long, though, but I don't think the Broncos would actively look to trade him at this point. Having a reliable backup is a big deal.
Do the Cleveland Browns have a first-round draft pick? Because only the Browns would try to first-round draft pick for a backup quarterback.
Yeah, maybe call the Browns and just see. Maybe that's not a bad idea. Because most people aren't going to give you a high draft pick, but the Browns might say, you know what? You know what's better than having 5 quarterbacks? 6 quarterbacks?
You know, one of these quarterbacks could also be a defensive lineman.
You could move them around if you need to. People are taking out of context the Dylan Gabriel comments, by the way, when he said, hey, there are entertainers and there are football players, and I'm just here trying to play football. And they thought that was a dig at Shador. Well, this is why you got to watch the full video and get the context. They were asking about distractions, and he was like, I'm not a celebrity. You know, he was talking about people on their social media accounts and being actors and performers. And he's like, that's not me. I'm not one of those. It wasn't a shot at Shador Sanders, but that battle continues to go on. Mark Johnson's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. I don't know if he's following along, but don't you think this is odd, Mike? There's more talk surrounding a fourth-string quarterback than there is maybe a transcendent-type player in Travis Hunter that's playing both ways, could be really special, could do something that nobody's really done at a full level. Like, primetime did it, but not, not talking... Basically, Hunter's wanting to get to the point where he's out there all the time. That's the big story. That's the big rookie. But Shador Sanders is getting that. That just shows you the fame. that goes around the Sanders, and I'm not here to complain about it today. But, Mike, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. For more, check them out online at fmsbank.com/KFK. And the good for me, and I'm going to be selfish on this, the good was that we got our bet, and I could put this thing to rest. It wasn't really stressing me out. I had fun with it, but I was seriously like, is this going to go into September? But the Rockies go on this massive run. I mean, they were stuck at 30. Michael, they won their 30th game on August 2nd. And then they went on the 8-game losing streak. So I'm thinking, okay, yeah, it's very realistic that they could win a game and then lose 6 in a row, win a game and then lose 6. So this could stretch. But then they go on the massive run to clinch this deal. They got win number 31 against St. Louis, and then winning that series, getting win 32, and then winning the 4-game series against the Diamondbacks. Got it done. 35, so that's my good. The bad for me is kind of the whole Audric Estime thing. It's amazing to me how quickly he fell way out of favor. He was the R.J. Harvey last year, and he just didn't run with it. He fumbled, he had some injury stuff, and I don't know that the relationship is tight. He's getting his shot still in the preseason. Got one more preseason game to go, and I'm told most of the starters will play 7-8 plays, something like that. Not much. They're not going to be out there much. Probably a drive or two. Maybe they can get that bad taste out of their mouth, even though they ended with a field goal drive. But, yeah, that's kind of it. The ugly was the pre-snap penalties in this game Saturday. Coach Sean Payton talked about that, too. That stuff, I mean, I get it. It's a bunch of second-teamers, but you want to get that stuff addressed. That's bad whether it's your first string doing it or your second string doing it, because these guys are all practicing together. But the Broncos win again, and they're undefeated in the preseason, which means nothing. We know that. But if you're going to play a game, you might as well go win it. They won against the 49ers 30-9, and they beat the Cardinals 27-7. And there's a lot of good things coming out of this, man, out of the preseason. I mean, how about Troy Franklin? Troy Franklin is looking like the guy maybe we were promised last year, but a rookie, hard to expect that. But he had 4 catches, 67 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I like Pat Bryant a lot. How about Evan Engram? He was one of the only main starters to play. He had that long catch for 58 yards. And then the running back battle continues. We'll talk about that later on. And that is the good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. My Lorado whiskey poll question of the day is available. You can follow me on X. I post all my poll questions there, or on my Facebook account. So check it out. I need to start sharing those on the whole show Facebook account too, because you might not want to add me as a friend on Facebook. You might not want to be my friend. You can follow me on X. X is definitely where I do more of my sports stuff, the goofy stuff. Facebook occasionally, you see family stuff, whatever. The Lorado whiskey poll question of the day: the Rockies need 7 wins to avoid the tie for worst record in the modern MLB era. Will they win 7? That is the question. 59% say yes, 41% say no. They got to win 7, Mike. Come on. I mean, they won 11 since the All-Star break. You got the rest of August and then most of September to get that done. I think so, and I'm rooting for them. I've gone back and forth on this, but I'm rooting for them not to be in the bad history life. You know, because that sticks with you forever. That never goes away. And if you're debating your friends that are not Rockies fans, and the Rockies finally become relevant, if they ever do, then they can always point and say, "Yeah, aren't you the franchise that has the worst record in the modern MLB era?" I'd like that not to be a talking point. So I don't know how much more engaged I'm going to be watching the Rocks. Usually I've already shut off by this time because it's all football, preparing for everything. But, you know, luckily it's early in the week. We don't always have football games on, so I could still pay attention to the Rocks. With this beard thing, it definitely had me paying attention to the Rockies a lot more. But, like, will I watch the Rockies play tonight, or will I watch Monday Night Football? You got the Bengals and the Commanders playing preseason football. I don't know. I like preseason football. I'm fine with it. But because you can discover guys, too, even if they're not on your team. There might be guys that shine, and then you get to follow their career throughout. But the Bengals play tonight. That is also who we are doing our opponent preview for. I have the Broncos starting the season at 2-1. Week 4, we'll see Cincinnati in Denver. I'm high on Cincinnati on the offensive side. But this Trey Hendrickson thing, new defensive coordinator. He was Notre Dame's D coordinator. So how are they going to be defensively? They were so bad. They just needed to be average last year, and the Bengals would have been a playoff team. But they were well below average. 20 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. And the Broncos did pick up a familiar name at the fullback position. We'll talk about that coming up next. Mark Johnson will join me at the bottom of the hour. We got top stories. Broncos 53-man roster, what that kind of looks like, specifically for the running backs and the wide receiver room. Those are the big ones. So we'll get to that coming up. Broncos running back room, buy or sell, opponent preview, all that and more. It's a whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
What's happening in your community? Greeley, Loveland, and Fort Collins, Good Morning NoCo is on it. Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
One, two, three.
After the 11 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Yeah, a texter from the 9th. Oh, Faith. Kind of sad the hair saga is over. That was fun. Not for you guys, I'm sure. Did your son wonder what happened to your face after you shaved? He didn't really, he didn't really pay attention to it, but what was funny was my dog, Bear. He's like the sweetest dog ever. He just wants to love everybody. And I go to, I shaved, I come out to the living room, and he's sleeping on the floor, and he didn't see me, so I sat down. And then I go to get him up, go to the bathroom, and he turned up at me, starts barking. Like, not crazy, like one or two little boofs at me. And I looked at him, and then he stopped. His tail starts wagging. He comes up to me like, dude, I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. You just look a little different. My bad. That's on me. So that was interesting. Yeah, it was quite the journey, no doubt about it. It was fun, though. Faith and all you guys, thanks for having some fun with it, because that's what this is all about. It was supposed to be fun at our expense, and I think mission accomplished for us. Broncos sign former Colorado State running back, or fullback, excuse me, Adam Prentice. You're having injuries at that position, at that fullback position, so you're able to get a guy like Adam Prentice, played several years for Colorado State. I'll be curious to see what he could do, man. And so you go get him. Adam Prentice was not bad, you know. I mean, Michael Burton, he missed Saturday's preseason game against the Cardinals. He had a hamstring injury. So head coach Sean Payton said that that's why he was out. And then Nate Adkins is your tight end/fullback. He underwent a procedure for an ankle sprain. So you're having a lot of those kind of injuries, not for your starters or big names, but several names. But yeah, Prentice spent 5 years at Colorado State from 16 to 20. He was primarily like a blocker with the Rams. He had 193 yards while he was with CSU. But he has a good relationship with Payton and general manager George Payton. He began his career with the Broncos in 2021 as an undrafted free agent. And then he was cut and promptly signed by Sean Payton's Saints, where he played 4 years there. And he started 7 games in 2024. So keep your eyes out for that. See if Adam Prentice can kind of make a name for himself with the Broncos, especially with all the injuries that are going on.
If he ends up being a backup, Adam Prentice will be Apprentice.
Yep. Are you good with that? You happy with that? The way that went down?
Look, I'm happy with that.
I might not
be the only one.
Yeah, I'm not thrilled with that. But it's, you know, you tried, and that's okay. Sometimes you just got to try, give it a shot. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffalo, is going to join me coming up next. But first, let's take a quick break here. You're listening to The Whole Show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
All right.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, just 34 minutes after 11 o'clock. Joining me on Mondays throughout the football season, we're going to have Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, join us. We're trying to get him, right? Did you try both? Did you try both numbers, Mike?
I did.
He's got two
get
numbers. He's an important guy, so ring him again.
I'll call him a few more times.
Leave him a voicemail. Just how do you leave voicemails? When you call somebody, how does it sound? Go
Click.
Ahead. No, you don't leave voicemails?
I don't like voicemails.
If you were to leave a voicemail, what would you say? This is important.
Like, there would be a lot of us.
You're calling your niece. You need to leave her an important message. What do you say?
My
this is Micah.
Text.
Let's just say you did. You couldn't text. Your text line went out. What's a voicemail from Michael look like?
I'd say, I love you a lot.
That's how you'd start it? You just say, I love you a lot. That's going to freak them out because they're going to think that you're hurt or something.
Oh, it would be, in quotes, I love you. I'd probably say that like three or four times. It would be long-winded, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I'd ask a bunch of questions like, how are you? What are you guys doing today?
Okay.
I mean, really,
yeah.
I just answer
boring.
The phone.
Yeah, that's fine. You're not a voicemail guy. It's funny the guys that leave voicemails and they give you, like most people are calling from cell phones now. And you see that they call you. Oh, call his cell, Mike. Call his cell. Did you hear me? Hey, Mike. Okay. I can't tell if he's listening to me or not half the time.
Thinking about
but
that
you see, like,
apprentice.
You see, like, somebody calls you, and it's a number that's saved, so you know it's their cell phone, and they leave the number. It's funny to me. You know, you don't have to do that. You know? We've got it. We see it. It's not like the 90s anymore. I mean, I remember when we first got caller ID, how cool that was. Mike, are you calling his cell? Is that okay? Make sure I'm texting him as I'm talking here, hoping that Michael can take care of it for me. Oh, there he goes. There he is. We got him. We got him, everybody. He's got the voice of gold. And Mark, I don't know if you can hear in the sound of my voice, but I no longer have a beard, my friend. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, the Rockies 135. I'm free of my burden. I got to shave my beard last night.
You know, that's all fine and dandy. I am going to question your manhood now that you shaved your beard off. I mean, you know, I thought you looked kind of Grizzly Adams-like. I was impressed with the way you looked, and so I'm kind of disappointed now that you've become civilized.
A lot of people, I was surprised. A lot of people were saying, hey, dude, you should keep that thing. I've never let a beard grow like that before, so I didn't know what I was capable of, Mark. It was just too much power for one summer.
Hey, here's the question, because, you know, most of the time during the off season, because I'm up on my property and it's just me and the horses and dogs, and I let it grow, and then at some point my wife will walk in and go, you know, I think it's time to shave that thing. So,
yeah, mine was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. She was
okay.
She
All
was
right.
fine with it. She's like, you know, it's not bad. It's my hair that drives her crazy because the back of my hair, it just like shoots out, like it just like a duck bill behind my head. It's very yeah. strange. So she'll be happy when I can get the full haircut, which is later this week. So yeah, she was having enough of it.
Well, you know what? I guess it's okay. You know, despite the fact that I think, I'm questioning your manhood now, you're more respectable and meetings with clients will be better because, you know, they're not meeting with Ted Kaczynski anymore. So I think it's just really better.
Well, and it was nice, too, because every time I'd sit down with somebody, I would start off the conversation right off the bat. I'd say, I'm sorry about this. I'd point to my face. And they didn't know how to take it. They're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, it's a Rockies bet. And then once you tell them what it is, it's kind of funny. And it's like, oh, okay, that sounds cool. But it's that initial handshake.
Yeah, I've been apologizing for my face for a long time, too. Every time I do a game on TV, I apologize to the audience. So I know what you're talking about.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, joining me. Mark, I'm excited to get you back on weekly. Recap, the weekend that was for the Buffs. But you know this, and I love talking to you, especially about like the big stuff going on around college sports. And last week, the Michigan thing was the big story. Big fines and all that, but not vacating any wins or the championship. What did you make of that? Because I'm not a big remove the games like it didn't happen, but if they're like determining that you cheated to win those games, that's more of a debate, I suppose.
I wasn't terribly offended by what they were accused of. The whole... What was the assistant coach's name? I always forget his name.
Was it Stallions?
Yeah, I wasn't terribly. In fact, when that thing came up, I looked at Gary one day and I said, "Okay, explain why I should be offended by this." He says, "What do you mean?" I said, "Coach, we've got every angle of video from every play of every game. You guys get to break down as coaches. What advantage are we gaining by being in attendance? You know, the reason they did that was for financial reasons." Because there were lower level schools could not afford to be sending scouts out to all these games. That's the reason they did it. So I said, I'm not terribly offended by what was alleged to have transpired here. And so that's why I to me, it was a big non-story. And I know there are other people that feel totally opposite and, claim they were cheating and they should be paying the penalty. And so when it came down, I'll be honest with you, man. I gave it a glance, kind of went, okay, fine. And moved on from there. So I don't think they should be vacating anything. I don't know what kind of real advantage they gained by having Stallion on the road covertly scouting games. I'm not sure that I've ever seen any evidence that says they gained great advantage from that.
Well, we had a texter because I was thinking one way, not all the way over, but I was kind of like, it's cheating, and then if it comes to that, but. It's also like, why did for some of these big money earning schools, like, why do we still have billboards with, characters on it? And that's how we're running plays. Anybody could go film this at any point and send it off to somebody. So you do make a great point.
And they do, by the way, Brady. You do know at every game you've got low level assistant coaches that are watching the signals of the other team coming in.
Yeah.
That happens every single game. They're trying to steal. It's like in baseball where they're trying to steal signs during the game. I mean, it's just part of the sport, and everyone's doing it. We know everyone's doing it, but since they made a rule to save some money and somebody violated it, we made a big deal out of it. I thought it was more hyperbole than it actually was, from a reality standpoint, any gained advantage.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of have come around on that, too, especially just like you said, everybody's doing it anyway. You can get guys to just stare. What are they going to say? You can't stare at the space around them. Like, how are you going to try to govern that? It's impossible.
No, exactly right. And that's why it was really blown out of proportion, I thought. And so when they came out and handed down the fines and whatever else there is going to be part of that package, and didn't vacate the wins. I thought, okay, fine. I'm fine with that if you want to slap their hand a little bit. And I don't think it taints anything in my view. But, I don't keep this, fantasy, view of sports that it's pristine and this is being, it's a gentleman's game in that regard. Listen, I understand there are competitors in this thing and everyone's looking for an advantage in some form or fashion. Now, You can cross lines that I think then take you into the realm of real cheating. There are other areas like this that are kind of this gray area where you go, was it stealing signs? Sure, it probably was. But is everybody doing it? Do you get, 4K television, video where you can see the sidelines and you can actually zoom in? When you get that all 11 or all 22 shot of the field, and you can actually zoom in on your screen and try and pick it up, because that's what guys are doing.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how it's any great advantage to have somebody sitting in the stands or on the sideline trying to steal the stuff when they're doing it anyway via video.
Mark Johnson joining us, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, on the Buff side of things, the quarterback side, is this going to be Caden Salter, or is there a real case for a Julian Lewis to get the starting job as a freshman?
Well, in my view, it's Caden Salter plus. I think he's the leader in the clubhouse. We're inside 2 weeks of the first game now. My view is he, and this is, no one's told me anything. I'm just watching practice thinking, okay, this is what I think is going to happen. I think Caden Salter starts. I do think we see both quarterbacks. I think they're going to have a package out there for Juju Lewis. My guess, he's a very talented young man. Caden Salter, however, is extremely electric with his legs. And so my guess is the older guy who's played a lot of football and had a lot of success starts games, but don't be shocked then if Juju Lewis is out there for some different packages, and maybe they utilize both of them at different times. Now, could Juju start a game at some point this season? Well, let's see what his transition is like. Brady, you got to understand something. That dude is 17 years old. He right now should be entering another year of high school in Georgia, and he's already set so many records. He should be setting those records out of reach so nobody ever breaks them in the state of Georgia. But yet he graduated early. Here he is as a 17-year-old. He doesn't turn 18 until sometime here in late September, so in a little over a month or so. He's going to turn 18 years old, so he's incredibly young. But I do think he's a talented guy, and I think we're going to see both of them at some point this season.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how they kind of how Coach Prime kind of works the young quarterback in. That's insane to me, just to hear you say it out loud, 17 years old for this dude.
Yeah, and think about that. He didn't come here this summer. He came mid-year last year. So he got here in January of 2025, and then, you know, now in September he's going to turn 18 years old. So he wasn't even 17 and a half at that point in time. You know, he was only, what, 4 months into being a 17-year-old young man. And so he got here. Now, he's a very mature kid. He's had a camera following around since he was, what, 15 years old. They're working on a documentary on him. Of course, that's not even unique anymore. Everyone's got a documentary on himself, apparently, in college athletics now. But nonetheless, I mean, he's had a lot of those kind of responsibilities for a while now. And so he's a very mature young guy. But keep in mind, he's only 17 years old. My goodness. I think I was still eating dirt and chasing girls when I was 17, you know?
Yeah, I was definitely not getting ready to be on one of the most popular football programs in all of the country. Yeah, that right. Was definitely not me, Mark. Maybe playing Madden. You know, I was pretty good at that.
Sure, I understand.
Mark, looking around at this team, I've seen a lot of the, you know, the over-unders, the win prediction total. I mean, a lot of the wise guys out there kind of looking at this team like a 6 or 7 win football team. First off, I want to know what you make of that. And second, if that is the case, honestly, I don't think that's freak out time for anybody because of who you're replacing.
No, I think you're right. And, you know, keep in mind that all the assessments of this are based on the I don't know.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, you start camp, you don't have arguably the best quarterback in college football in Shador. You don't have the best player in the Heisman winner in Travis Hunter. So you take those kind of dynamic talents and personalities off this team, plus another guy who was outstanding and Shiloh Sanders as well on the other side, and then a handful of receivers who are all in the NFL right now. And so it's built on a lot of I don't know. And then you got the factor where you're bringing a bunch of guys into the transfer portal, and that's more I don't know. And so that's what it's built on at this point in time. I still think watching this team, this is my, and again, I want to couch this comment by saying this, Brady. We're in the part of camp where it's like wandering through the desert and I think I see a mirage, but I'm not sure, right? That's where we're at in camp. We're 3 weeks in. I've watched the same guys play against the same guys day in and day out. And so I watch this and I think I see what I see. And then I talk to Gary and say, okay, this is what I saw. What did you see? And so you're trying to assess this whole thing. But I think this is going to be a pretty darn good defensive team. I mean, I think they were much improved a year ago. I think they could be upper-level Big 12 this year on defense. I think this offense is going to run the ball. We just finished up doing a bunch of interviews with the offensive line coaches and Xavier Hill, the Memphis transfer. And every guy said, hey, man, Coach Prime sent an edict down. You're going to run the football this year. And so they're confident they can do that. I think that offensive line is much improved. I think Caden Salter is a dynamic runner. When this thing's all said and done, don't be surprised if the Buffs are a 175-yard a game type of running team, a couple hundred yards somewhere in there. Caden Salter maybe leads the team with 700-800 yards, and then they've got 3 or 4 guys that all run for 400 to 500 yards. I think it could be that kind of team this season. And so from a win total standpoint, I've been going between 7 and 9. I think 7-9 is a safe area. I think they're a quality team. I think they're going to be real good defensively. And then depending upon, do you get a break here? Do you get a break there? What happens? You know, do you win a game like Baylor last year? Do you lose a game like Baylor last year? That'll set that number at 7-9, and it's a bowl team. But I think with that number, they're going to be in competition for the Big 12 championship, I think.
Well, if they can, like you said, if that offensive line, which was pretty much overhauled, save for Jordan Seaton, if that line can come in and be much better, much different than they were last year, at least the names are for sure, then I'm with you. I think that this team could be a lot, maybe a little bit better than what some of the national looks are giving them right now.
I saw it the other day, Brady. Somebody put out the heaviest lines as a unit by average in college football. The Buffs are number fourth in America. Number four in America. And so they're a huge offensive line. And I just got done talking with Xavier Hill, like I mentioned just a little while ago. I mean, he's a big, nasty human being. Nice guy, but a big, nasty human being on the interior. Had great success in Memphis. Jordan Seaton, look, I tell you this. Jordan Seaton, with about 2-3 days of practice, and I called out to him and tracked him down. And I said, young man, I said, last year you were a great player because of talent. This year you look like a great player. He has totally changed his body, totally redid his diet. I mean, Brady, he looks like a first-round NFL draft pick right now. I mean, he's monstrous. Larry Johnson is, you know, one of the transfers, is 6'8", 345, 350 pounds. I mean, they're huge. And so that would make you think, okay, this team's really got a chance. I do believe in that offensive front. I think it might be the best offensive line we've had here at Colorado in a long time. That's my hope anyway.
Wow. Well, that would be something. That would be a big deal for the Buffaloes. Mark, my friend, always appreciate you. And this time next week, we'll actually be in game week. A week from Friday, the Buffs get set to start their season against Georgia Tech, man. You got to be pumped. You got to be ready to go.
Oh, I can't wait, man. I'm looking forward to it. Always a fun time of year, a lot of excitement. And so, you know, the schedule sets up beautifully. 7 home games. Most of the games on paper against the teams that are supposed to be good are in Boulder, save for maybe the Kansas State game. But for the most part, it's real home heavy. And you know, I was just thinking as we wrap up here, now that you shaved your beard and you look civilized again, when you're drinking your tea now, make sure that pinky is up in the air, okay? Now that you look good again.
Well, once I get the haircut, I'm going full in. Tea drinking, pinky in the air, all that stuff. Yeah. I'll be ready, Mark.
You start wearing pastels. I mean, you're going to look really good again. Yep.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, appreciate you, my friend, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
All right, look forward to it, too.
All right, there he is, the voice of the Buffs. It's a completely different offensive line. No question about it. And if that can be, it's got to be night and day difference compared to last year. 11:50 the time. Let's jump out, take a quick break here. We'll wrap up hour number one. We got top stories of the day. Broncos 53-man prediction. The running back in the wide receiver room specifically. How's that going to shape up? We'll be right back.
Have a drink. Football 52, the two-man gang. Cody the weather guy and Front Range Spare Change. We do more than just radio. We have the best podcasts around. Get them all on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and 1310kfka.com.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310kfka.
My hands on myself.
Renaissance Insurance Group. They are a fiercely independent insurance brokerage with a regional presence, extensive national resources, and a passion for developing advantageous insurance solutions for their clients. We actually had someone call the station today looking, say, hey, we heard about Renaissance Insurance. What's that number again? We want to give them a call. We got a big farm. We want to talk to them about our farming operations. That's 970-674-8825. That's Ryan right there. That's a great friend of mine, and it's an honor for me to be able to talk about what they do in helping your business on the insurance side. That's Renaissance Insurance. Check them out online at team-rig.com. First Advantage text line is 888-530 0043. Loretta, whiskey poll question of the day. The Rockies' key number now is no longer 35. It's 7. 7 wins will avoid the tie with the White Sox for having the worst record in the Major League Baseball era. 7 wins, key number. Are they going to get it done? They should. They are playing better baseball. They've been better since the All-Star break. But that 8-game losing streak wasn't that long ago. You know, that's still a team that's capable of losing 8 games in a row. So, but I do think that they'll get it done. And I don't know. It might be barely. I mean, maybe they're sitting at like 44 wins to end the season, which would be pretty phenomenal, you know, considering we were pushing so hard to just get 35. And a lot of people that were following along with the beard hair bet were like, oh, yeah, you're not going to be shaving until September. Yeah. We showed them. We got it done on August 18th or August 17th. Yeah.
I was not a believer.
You got to believe, Mike. Sometimes you just got to believe. And that's what the Rockies did, and they found a way to get
to 35.
I'm rooting
for 7 wins. 7 wins.
You don't want bad history?
No, absolutely not.
No, I don't either. You don't want that. Whether you're a diehard Rockies fan or not, it's Colorado. These are our teams. And you want to have respect put on all of our teams, and that would certainly dampen that respect.
Even though I hate CU, I don't want them to like go 0-12.
I don't want them to be a terrible team. I like CU. 11:57 the time. We got top stories of the day coming up next. Big name in the NFL might be on the trade block. Also, a starting quarterback has been named for the Cleveland Browns. We'll talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.